Hebrews chapter 5. I want to read beginning with verse number 1 all the way down through verse number 14. So this section here, the last section, the apostle here is addressing the problem of spiritual immaturity. Spiritual immaturity. When our boys were infants, they drank from their mother's milk for many months. That was normal. And they ate no steak and chicken for a long time. That's normal as well. When they were little and started graduating from milk to other foods, we had this little hand crank food grinder. We put the food in there and crank it, and it would mash it all up and smash it all up, and it made fine ground food for them, and they would eat that. And that was normal for those little guys that are just starting into the food realm. But when our boys got to be 15 or 16, if we would still get out the food grinder and grind their food for them and spoon feed them, that would be tragic. Sometimes that happens, and I'm not belittling that. That is sad when it happens, because that's not normal. That's abnormal. And maturity is something that naturally comes with age. As a person goes through the time and time passes, that person graduates from just milk to the more solids, and then eventually to solid foods like meat, and is able to eat the solid things. And that is what we expect physically, but also God says that is what is to be true spiritually as well. We need to be growing spiritually. And Paul, as he began this chapter here, the first four verses, he talked about the human priesthood and how that the human priest would offer up sins for himself and offer up sins of sacrifices for the sins of his people as well, because we are a sinful people. We need God's help. And God provided that in the Old Testament as a covering for the sins. But then Christ came on the scene, and he was the ultimate high priest who fulfilled all of the Old Testament and completed those Old Testament sacrifices. And he said there that he is called the Son of God, and that he is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And as I said, we'll be talking a little bit more about Melchizedek in a couple of weeks. But Melchizedek was from the Old Testament. You read that back in Genesis. But then it talks about how Christ endured troubles and strugglings in this life, and how he prayed. You know, sometimes we think that Christ was, you know, just invincible to all the problems that were around. He was still physically, he was God, and yet he was man at the same time. And when he prayed in the garden, he prayed in agony because he knew what was coming. He knew that he was going to face the cross. It wasn't just the miserable death on the cross. It was the bearing of my sin and your sin upon him that was the greatest burden that he had. The thought of him carrying all of our sins upon him. And he, who was perfect, took my sins and paid for them in full. And he says there that he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. By going through those things, he learned obedience. He had no experience with obedience before because he was the sovereign. But when he became man in his human flesh, he learned obedience through suffering. And then I mentioned a moment ago in verse 9 that he, being made perfect, he became the author of our eternal salvation. He completely completed God's plan for redemption. He was the propitiation for our sins. He paid the debt in full. Every part of our sinfulness he paid for in full, and it was completely taken care of. And Christ met that need, and he became the author of our eternal salvation, and unto all them that obey him. And then we see in verses 11 to 14 how the apostle turns and says, but there's a problem. Some of you just don't get it. You're not understanding. You're not growing. You're not catching it. These things that Christ did for us, we're not in the Old Testament anymore. The Old Testament priest is not needed anymore. Christ fulfilled that. He paid the debt in full. He accomplished that. He's the author of eternal salvation now. We don't have to depend upon the Old Testament priest. And a lot of the people the apostle was writing to were still saying, no, we got to go back to the Old Testament and this Christ idea of him, we don't get that, and we're not accepting it. And so he's saying, listen, there's an immaturity. You know information, but you're not growing. And there's a problem with that. Sometimes it's because there's no spiritual life. We'll see that in a moment. But other times it's because they've heard, and there may be some spiritual life, but they're confused. news, and they're just not growing, they're not feeding on the Word. And so he spends these last four verses dealing with the problem of overcoming spiritual immaturity. Overcoming spiritual immaturity. Now, as we look at this morning, I want us to focus on this thought. Spiritual immaturity is an abnormality that should and can be overcome. And I believe there's three steps we can find in the passage that will help us to do that. Now, as you look at your own life, you know, all of us here this morning are either Christians or non-Christians. There's nothing in between. And all of us here are either maturing, growing Christians, or we're stagnant baby Christians. There's really no other choice there either. And it doesn't really matter whether you claim to have been a Christian for 25 or 50 years, or whether you've been a Christian for 2 weeks. That's not the point. We're supposed to be growing. And if we're not growing, then we're stagnant, and we're still acting like babes. We're acting like we're immature. And so as we look at this passage here, keep that in mind, and look for those three steps that I want to identify here that I believe can be a help to us. The first step of overcoming spiritual immaturity is identifying your spiritual immaturity level, or your spiritual maturity level. All right, where are you at spiritually? You know, have you had time to mature spiritually? Look at verse number 12 again. He says, "For when the time ye ought to be teachers." He mentions the word time there for a purpose. He says there, you've been claiming to know Christ long enough that you shouldn't be being spoon-fed anymore. You ought to be teachers by now. You've had time to grow up. You've had time to mature. And time ought to help us mature, but that doesn't always be the case. Sometimes Christians don't seem to grow like they should. But, you know, as we think about this, newborn Christians are supposed to be drinking the milk of the Word. That's normal. Just like a newborn baby, that's normal. Peter addressed that in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, when he said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word. He said, you need to desire that. That's normal. That's good. As a new Christian, you ought to desire the Bible. There ought to be a hunger in your heart to read the Word of God and to say, I want to learn, I want to grow, I want to gain all I can from this because this book is important to me. I want to learn the Bible. That ought to be in the heart. And so the milk of the Word, the basic things of the Scriptures, the basic things of the Bible, you know, the real easy to understand things, that's the milk of the Word. And there ought to be that hunger there. Now, drinking just milk of the Word for years and years is not good. And there are Christians that say they've done that. You know, you ask yourself, have I been saved long enough that I ought to be maturing spiritually? Ask yourself that question. Have I been saved long enough that I really ought to be maturing as a Christian? Should I be more grown up than I am? Am I still pretty immature? An important question to ask yourselves. You know, just as time will allow a human to develop and to be able to grow up, to mature mentally, physically, be able to eat stronger foods and to learn and gain and be able to grow like that, that is normal. But yet, there are sometimes that Christians, they've been claimed to be saved for a long time, but yet they still haven't even taken some of the basic steps. You know, the Bible tells us once we come to know Christ our Savior, that we ought to get baptized, we ought to follow the Lord and grow. We ought to be coming faithfully to church. And, you know, that's why we have three services a week, so you can gain and you can grow. I don't study for Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night just to give me something to do. I do it to try to help you. And I try to find things that the Lord will guide me to so I can help you to grow. I want you to grow. And that's what it's all about. And that ought to be part of our lives. And yet, many times Christians that have been saved for a long time are just stagnant. They're still addicted to their old habits. They're still not reading their Bible regularly. They're still not really being faithful to God. And they're kind of up and down. And that's a real problem. That's spiritual immaturity. And that is sad. He says here that that they should be teachers instead of being taught. You know, we ask ourselves that question. Are you teaching others what you learn from the Scriptures? That's a good question. I'm not asking if you're teaching Sunday school. I'm asking, are you teaching others what you learn? And every one of us, if you know Christ your Savior, you need to be learning from the Bible on a regular basis, every day, learning something. And you should be sharing that with somebody that's close to you. Maybe it's your children, maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's your friend, but you tell them what you're learning. You know, you take a child that grows up, and, you know, we've all seen this. Children get to this one point, and I don't remember exactly when it is, but when they start talking, they ask, why? Why? What's this? Why? Why? I thought, oh, give me a break. All right. They want to know why about everything. And when they learn something, they want to tell everybody, guess what I learned today? I learned this. And you say, oh, yeah, we learned that a long time ago. But he's all excited about it because he just learned it. And so they tell everybody what they're learning. They want to learn. They want to grow. And that ought to be the way it is with a Christian as well. We ought to be telling others what we're learning and what we're gaining. And it ought to be part of our daily activities. But yet, many times, if we're not spiritually, if we're not talking about spiritual things, and you don't like to talk about spiritual things, and when you get together with your friends, you never talk about the Bible, or you never talk about what God's doing in your life, or you never talk about what you just read from the Scriptures, something's wrong. Something's wrong. He said we need to be growing and be teaching and helping others. And parents, you know, you read through the book of Proverbs. It is a huge challenge. Many times through the book of Proverbs, Solomon is saying, my son, do this. My son, obey my commandments and the laws of your mother. And he goes on, but you know, you turn that around, they have to be taught something before they can learn it. And so much of the book of Proverbs really is addressed to dad and mom, that you've got a huge job to teach your children the things of God so that they can in turn follow the things of God. And so, teaching our children, Proverbs 6 verse 20 says, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. But you can't keep a commandment and law if you haven't heard it. And it hasn't been taught you. And it hasn't been instilled in your heart. And it hasn't been ground into your soul. It's part of teaching our children. And it's very, very important to teach them the Scriptures. Not just, you know, take them to Sunday school. A lot of times parents think, well, what do you expect? You know, I take them to Sunday school, you know, and that's not the whole thing. That's only a tiny little part of it. But they need to hear it daily. And then we read also in the New Testament where the Apostle Paul was writing to Titus, and he says there in Titus chapter 2 and verse 4, he's speaking to the elderly ladies that they may teach the young women that to be sober, to love their husband, to love their children. You know, this is something that we kind of shun away from. But God says the older people are supposed to teach the younger people what they know, to help them. And yet we feel like, oh, I don't want to interfere with them. I don't want to get in their life. I don't want to get in their face. Well, listen, God says we're supposed to. That's how they can learn. So we're supposed to share what we're learning. So if we're not sharing what we're learning, there's something wrong. If we're still acting like we need to be taught instead of we're being teachers, something's wrong. We're not maturing like God wants us to be. Another thing that he brings out here is are you struggling with spiritual basics? Look at verse 12 again. For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. The little word first principles there refers to the ABCs, the alphabet, the real basic things. You know, that we're going right back to the very start of things. You know, he says, instead of being able to teach you heavier things about the atonement of Christ and about what Christ has done for us, you're still back in the basics. You just don't even get the very ABCs of the Christian life. And, you know, you think about that. Well, what are the real basics of life? Well, first of all, daily time with God and the Bible. I mean, that's a basic. Daily time in prayer with the Lord. That's a basic. And confession of sin when we do wrong, and we all do wrong. You know, if you don't have a regular time where you're getting right with God, something's wrong. We need that. And memorizing helpful Bible verses, meditating on what you read, and striving to resist temptation. You know, sometimes Christians don't even try. What's the use? I can't overcome anyway, so I might as well enjoy it. Well, that's not the right attitude for a Christian. We're supposed to overcome temptation. And so this is part of the basics and faithful church attendance and living for the Lord and all of these things. These are the basics. And he says, if you if you're back still struggling with the first principles of the oracles of God, the real basics, you're still immature. Something's wrong. You're not growing like you should. And God's urging us to grow. And then another question we can ask ourselves in verse number 12 is, what kind of food am I able to handle spiritually? At the end of it, it says, but ye are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. All right, so there's a need for milk and not strong meat. And we talk about the milk of the Word, the real basics of the Bible, the ABCs of the Bible, and not the strong meat. And you know, there are some things in the Bible that are strong meat. They're hard to chew, hard to figure out. One of them is in chapter 7 when he talks about Melchizedek. I mean, that's a piece of hard meat with bones in it too. Trying to chew on that for a while, figure out who Melchizedek was. And, you know, I'm not sure that anybody knows for sure, but we'll take a look at that when we get there and try to work our way through it and explain some things. But there's some places in the scriptures that there are some things that are hard to understand. No question about it. But those are the meatier things. Another thing is the doctrines of the Word of God. You know, if you've been saved for any length of time, you ought to be able, without any hesitation, to list off at least 10 of the major doctrines of the Bible. And yet, I dare say, many Christians that say they've been a Christian for a long time couldn't do that. The basic doctrines of the Bible. The doctrine of Scripture, the doctrine of God, the doctrine of sin, the doctrine of man, the doctrine of salvation, the doctrine of eternal life or the future events, the doctrine of the church. And there's all these doctrines of the Scripture. And God wants us to understand them, not just list them off, but to understand them. I've often thought, I remember back when I was ordained as a Baptist minister, I studied and wrote out my thesis paper and all this kind of stuff and read it off. And afterwards, you know, years later, I thought, it would have been far better if they would have said to me, don't bring any notes up there, just stand up and tell us what you know about the Bible. Tell us what you know about doctrine. And they could ask me to list off the doctrines of the Bible and explain propitiation, explain the redemption of Christ, explain salvation, explain the problem of man, and give some basic questions. That would be far better. I mean, they'd show I really knew it. I mean, anybody can read what you pulled out of the books. But to stand up and be able to explain, it's another thing. See, Paul's saying here, you know, that's the solid meat. That's the harder stuff. That's what we're going to be looking at, those kind of things in Beyond Basics on Friday night. Some of those more detailed things. But, you know, we need to grow. How are you growing? Where are you at spiritually? When a spiritual immature person hears the meaty doctrinal teachings of the Bible, many times they get frustrated. They tune out. Oh, preacher's talking about that heavy stuff again. Oh, forget that. Or maybe they complain. Well, they spit it out. Say, couldn't handle that. That was a hard one. Forget that. Not into that stuff. Let's go back to the David and Goliath stories. Come on, Pastor. Give us something interesting. And you know, they can't handle the meat. And so we ask ourselves first that first very, very important question, or that statement, identify your spiritual maturity level. Where are you at? Now let me say right from the beginning, none of us have arrived. The Apostle Paul, who was a great preacher, he said, I have not arrived, but I'm pressing for the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. None of us have arrived at maturity yet. We'll not get there until we get to heaven. But it ought to be our goal to strive to that end. We ought to be growing. You know, when a kid is 15, he ought to be far more mature and grown up and acting more like a man than he was when he was one. Right? There's a maturity physically that ought to be, and so it is spiritually. We ought to be growing. And if you look at your life and say, no, I'm really not growing much. I'm kind of stagnant. Haven't done much in a long time. Kind of hitting one of those plateaus and kind of not doing very much. Well, then, God wants you to grow. That brings us to our second step. The second step in overcoming spiritual immaturity is, if you are immature, seek to identify the cause. Why am I immature? Why am I not growing? Why am I not learning all that I should and becoming all that God wants me to be? Look at verse number 11. Paul says here, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered. See, he admits that there are some things that are hard to be uttered. They're difficult sayings. They're difficult to explain. But he goes on, he says, seeing ye are dull of hearing. You're dull of hearing. He said the problem here is that many times we're dull of hearing. And the word dull of hearing means literally we're slow or sluggish listeners. We're not actively involved in it. You know, if you've ever tried to teach them, maybe you're teaching your children, and they're kind of looking out the window, and they're kind of fidgeting, and they're playing with their toys, and they're not really listening to you. Say, stop what you're doing and listen. All right? That's why I like to see people paying attention when I'm preaching. You know, some people doodle, and some people do all kinds of things when I'm preaching, and they kind of, and in my heart I'm thinking, I wonder if they're really listening. All right? But God wants us to focus and listen so that we can learn and not be dull of hearing, not be sluggish in our hearing. And the idea here of being sluggish in our listening is basically the idea of being apathetic. Oh, boy, this again. Oh, preachers on that one again? Oh, let me tune out. I'll go to sleep. Wait, poke me when it's done. And sometimes we get that attitude. And we aren't paying close attention. Jesus saw the same problem during his ministry. Luke chapter 24 and verse 25, it says there that then he, Jesus, said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Jesus said, you're slow of heart. You just don't get it. You're not paying attention. It's not soaking in. And you're not listening like I want. You're apathetic. And I believe apathy is one of the main causes of spiritual immaturity. People just don't care. And you know, we live in a world today that is so against spiritual growth. Our telephone and our internet and the TV and music and games and pleasure and sports and all kinds of entertainment. And it starts at the little levels. It used to be that Sunday school was not hard to teach because the kids loved to hear stories. And now my wife says, you know, you really got to try to entertain them because they just get bored and they start fidgeting and squirming and kicking around and poking each other. And I mean, that's part of being a kid, but it's worse now than it used to be because they're used to the entertainment. They're used to seeing things. And if there's not something on the screen that's changing and entertaining them all the time, then they get bored. And we've got all these things working against us to try to keep us from growing spiritually. It's the devil against us, trying to ruin our families, trying to ruin our own lives, to keep us from paying attention. We become dull of hearing. But then also, sometimes it's because of a lack of teaching. You know, that they just don't hear it. If you're not attending all the church services, you're not gaining all that you could. And I don't say that to cut at you. I'm saying for your own good. That's why I have these services, to benefit your soul, to feed you and to strengthen you. And it'll be a help to you. And, you know, that on Sunday night and Wednesday night, we focus more on teaching. Sunday morning, I focus more on bringing people to Christ. But Sunday night and Wednesday night, it's more on teaching you how to grow. And if you miss those, you're missing that. And so it's to your advantage. Many churches today have shifted from preaching to entertainment. You know, and you just even walk into their auditorium. The pulpit's no longer in the center. They might have a little podium over to the side. But then in the center, they got their big stage and their band and the spotlights and all this kind of stuff. And it's entertainment. They're there for the good time. And when the focal point of a church service moves from the pulpit to the music, and God's word is relegated to a brief closing comment, the church has ceased to become, ceased to be a biblical New Testament church. You can't function that way. That's not what God intended. You say, well, Pastor, you got to get up with the times. No, the Bible is relevant, and the Bible doesn't say we got to be entertaining people to meet their needs. We need to teach the word and preach the word. And so if a person is growing, first of all, the cause for him not growing, maybe he's dull of hearing. The second cause, maybe he's not being taught. And that's tragic. It could be because he's not coming and listening, or it could be that he's going to a place where they're not really teaching the word either. And so both of them are a problem. Now, another one is we need to ask ourselves a very pointed question. Are you positive that you have spiritual life? That is often a problem. You know, people say, well, I'm just not growing spiritually. Well, is there any life there to begin with? You can't, you know, make a dead life alive. And there's got to be life there. And those who have no real interest in learning the doctrines of the Word of God have a spiritual problem, a serious one. And they may not even really know Christ. We read over in Titus chapter 1, verse 16, Paul writing to Titus said, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. They've missed the boat. They're not saved. He says that's the problem with a lot of people, and I believe that that's sadly true, that there's many people that think they're Christians, but they're not growing, they're not doing anything for God, they're kind of stagnant, they don't really like the Bible, they don't like, you know, don't give me preaching, give me the entertainment, I don't want that stuff. And a lot of times it's because they don't even know Jesus is their Savior. And that's where it all starts, and that's the basics there. And genuine salvation in Christ changes a person's life from the inside out. You know, when you come to know Christ, He'll change your life. 2 Corinthians 5:17. What does that say there? It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. God is changing us. He's maturing us. He's growing us. He's helping us to be different. And He's changing our life. That ought to be true. And once we've identified the problem or the cause of immaturity, then that brings us to our third and final step, and that is to determine with God's help to grow. Determine with God's help to grow. We need to see the need to grow. He talks about the strong meat, and we ought to say, that's what I want. I want to be able to learn. I want to be able to grow. I want to be able to understand that more difficult stuff. And at verse number 14, he says, strong meat belongeth unto them that are of full age. He said, I want to grow up. I don't want to be a baby all the time. I remember in my youth, you know, one of the worst things that somebody could say to you, you know, when you're 10 or 11 years old, is, go on, quit being a baby. I'm not a baby. You know, they bristle at that. They don't want to be called a baby. They want to think they're grown up. But a lot of times they're not. And so, as Christians, we need to be growing and desiring to grow and have a desire not to be a baby Christian for a long time. And the idea of the strong meat here is referring to the steaks and the roasts of Scripture. You know, that heavier stuff, the stuff that takes a little chewing to get through. And there's some of that in there, no question about it. And it's the opposite of the milk. The really easy things to understand, that God loves you, He died on the cross for you, and He rose again for you. Those are the really easy things to understand that bring us to salvation. But the harder things, the doctrinal things, the more difficult things are the steaks and the roasts in there that are take some concentration. But we need to spend time in the Word of God. And know what God said to Joshua years ago, back in the book of Joshua. Now, let me just give you a little bit of history for those of you who aren't familiar with Joshua. While Moses was the leader of the people of Israel, Joshua was his right-hand man. He was his, I wouldn't really call him a servant, but he was right there next to him. He was kind of his mentor. And he was with him lots of times when he'd go places with Moses. Very privileged opportunity to do that. And then when Moses got to the point where he was about to die and God was to take him, God said, I want you to appoint Joshua as your leader, as the leader instead of you. And so Joshua became the second leader of the nation of Israel. A huge task. They were just about to cross the Jordan River and go into the promised land and conquer the land. They had waited for this for years. God had promised this over 400 years earlier that He would give them that land. And now it's at their doorstep. And Joshua has the huge responsibility of leading the armies to go in there and do that. And what did God tell Joshua? Joshua chapter 1, as God is speaking to Joshua, giving him the charge that he needs to stand up and do the work that God has called him to do. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make the way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. He said, you need the scriptures. Now, they didn't have very many scriptures. They only had the first five books. And they weren't written out in any fancy way that he could carry in his pocket. But he said, I want you to spend time in the book. Now, today, we've got 66 books of God's Word instead of five. We've got the whole thing. And we've got the privilege of having it on our phone, and having it on our computer, having it in our pocket. We can carry it in a little tiny Bible. You know, you can get it in all kinds of forms so that it's readily available. And he's saying here that we need to have a desire to spend time in the Word and let it not depart out of your mouth and meditate on it and observe it and obey it, and it'll make you prosper and give you success. The scriptures be our guide. It's what we need. The psalmist understood that as well. Years later, after Joshua finished his life, and the nation turned into the book of Judges, and the book of Judges, which lasted about 400 years, is a tragic book of the people falling away from God, and God had sent them a trouble, and they'd get back right with God, and they'd fall away from God, and God had sent them trouble, and they'd get back right with God, and back and forth, back and forth, back and forth for 400 years. And then finally God gave them a king. King Saul wasn't a very good king. Then King David came along. And King David, so many years had passed since the time of Joshua. But David understood this, and he penned there in Psalm 119:18, says, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Open my eyes. He said also in Psalm 86:11, teach me thy way, O Lord. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. He said, I want to learn the scriptures. Teach me your way. We find in Psalm 119:133, he wrote, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Order my steps so that every step I take in life, I'm walking in your way. I'm doing what you want. I'm obeying you. I'm following you. I'm not walking in the flesh. I'm not walking in the sinfulness. I'm walking in the steps of the scriptures. He said, that's what I want. I want to grow. I want to learn. The Apostle Paul, instructing young Timothy. Paul was on his deathbed. He was in prison in Rome, waiting execution. And he wrote 2 Timothy, the second book to Timothy. And verse number 15 of chapter 2 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He said, Timothy, you need to spend time studying. Give diligence to that. Dig into it. Let the word of God feed your soul. You need that. It'll help you. It'll strengthen you. It'll build you up. And you know, that is how we can grow. We need to see the need to grow and have a desire to grow and see that there. But then, back in our text, verse number 14, he says, but strong drink belongeth unto them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, a couple of things in here. If you take your little phone app and you look up those words, the word use is an interesting word. It means habit. He says, by reason of habit, as a result of a habit, things have changed. And they are exercising. Exercise. You know that nasty word none of us likes? Exercise. Ugh. I don't like exercising. I don't mind working. That's fine. But tell me I got to exercise? Oh, I don't like that. But exercise is work to build up my strength, build up my muscles. And so it is. They have a habit of exercising spiritually to be able to discern both good and evil. See, the more you spend time in the Word of God, the more you exercise, and the more you make it a habit of getting into the Bible and digging and researching and learning and growing and writing what you've learned and applying it to your life, and you go through these exercises habitually, it will help you grow. It'll strengthen your muscles spiritually. It'll make you stronger. And that's what the apostle was saying. This is what you need. In order to be able to take in that strong meat, you're going to have to exercise. You're going to have to grow. You're going to have a habit of doing this. It's important that we grow. Maturing takes work. It takes exercise. It takes time. And God wants us to spend that time in the Word. And with God's help, you can establish new habits. Habits that will help you study the Word of God. Habits that will help you to learn and grow in the Word of God. With God's help, you can change your old habits. Become faithful in church services and faithful in applying what you learn to your spiritual life. And making those spiritual changes that need to be made. I've shared this with you before and I'll share it with you again later, another time, because it's important for review. But a number of years ago, many years ago now, Melody challenged me. She said, you know, when you read your Bible, do you write something down every day? And I said, well, no, not every day. You know, some days, you know, I got notes in the margins of my Bible and I might find something kind of interesting and I'll jot a little note in the margin of my Bible. I do that. She says, no, I mean, write down something about something you learn each day. I said, no, I don't do that. She says, you really need to. I thought, oh, yeah, I probably should, but that sounds like work. And for a long time, I kept putting it off. Finally, she just kept after me, and I said, all right, I'll do it. And I started doing it, and I was amazed at what happened. It was awesome. Now, when I read the Scriptures, I'm constantly looking for something that I can gain from. Something that I can apply to my life. And I write it down. Write a paragraph. I don't need to write a whole story, but just write a paragraph about what I learned and how to apply it to my life. Every day I find something to write down. And that means every day I have something to meditate upon, something to work on, something to help me to grow. And as I look back over, my biggest problem is my memory. Some of you may be that way too. But during this week, a couple of the things that I meditated on, I meditated on Onesimus. I read the book of Philemon. Onesimus was an amazing man. He was a man who loved others. And Paul, when he wrote to him, he says, I know about your love, and you refresh the bowels of others. You build people up. I thought, boy, I need to work on that. I need to work on that. I need more of that. I'm deficient there. I need to work on it. And then I read, the day before, I read in Colossians, chapter 4 and verse 10, where it talks about Marcus. Well, Marcus is the same person as John Mark. Those of you who come on Wednesday night have learned that John Mark was the guy that deserted Paul on his missionary journey. But then Paul writes to the Colossians, and he mentions one of his fellow workers was Marcus, John Mark. Later in the book of 2 Timothy, Paul mentions, bring Mark with you, because he's profitable unto me. What had happened? Mark had made a mistake. He had gotten scared. He left the missionary journey, went back home to mama. But then God worked in his heart and changed his life. He repented, and he got back into the work and spent the rest of his life serving God. And he ended up writing the book of Mark. And he was in Colossae serving as a missionary. And he was ministering to people. His life had changed. So that was a reminder to me. You know, when you fall down, you scrape your knee, and you feel like quitting, get back up and press on. See, every day, if you will find something in Scripture that you read that will feed your soul, it will help you. And again, that's why I'm a strong proponent of reading in at least 4 different places in the Bible every day. Because you won't always get something from one chapter. For example, if you're reading in the Old Testament, like some people say, well, I'm going to read through my Bible, so I'm going to start in Genesis. Genesis is pretty cool. Exodus, oh yeah, that's not too bad. Leviticus, ooh, that's getting a bit heavy. And Deuteronomy, oh, that's not too good either. Joshua, oh, that's kind of exciting. And then all these stories of all their conquering, and then, oh yeah, well, that's okay. And then he starts getting into names and listing all the names. And then Judges, oh boy, the people are going bad and they're doing right, and they go bad and do right. Oh, I don't know about this. And then you get into the Chronicles. And then you might have 4 pages of names that you can't even pronounce. And how is that going to feed your soul today? This is my chapter for today. You're not going to even read these guys' names. They're over my head. They're there for a purpose. I'm not belittling that. But they don't all feed your soul on a daily basis. That's why if I read two chapters from the Old Testament, and I read a chapter in the New Testament, and then I'll read some from the Psalms and some from the Proverbs. If I do that every day, one of those four places is going to help me find something to feed my soul. And sometimes it's in the New Testament, sometimes it's in the Old Testament, oftentimes it's in Proverbs, there's a lot in Proverbs. But there's stuff there that'll feed you. That's why I encourage you to do that. But if you want to grow, you got to put your mind into it. You got to put your heart into it. It has to become a habit. It has to be disciplined. And if you would like a Bible reading schedule, I mean, I've made out my little Bible reading schedule. I've got it on my phone. You know, I've got it on my computer. I've got it on my tablet. And I'm happy to share it with you, unless you got an iPhone. I don't have that kind of stuff. I could put it in a PDF that would help you there. But I mean, it's there. And you can come up with your own way of reading. But read the scriptures, but the most important thing is write something down every day that you have learned. It will transform you. And I'll tell you, the best way to write it down, if you're at all computer literate, is to have a good Bible program and you write it in the Bible program. That's what I do. Because then the next time I go to that verse, there's what I wrote last time. Wow, that's what I learned last time. That was 3 years ago. Oh, wow, look at that. And it's there, and it's not going to leave. That's the, in my opinion, the very best way to do it. Melody writes hers in an exercise book, but that's fine. But, I mean, let's say you wanted something for 2 years ago that you read on John 3:16. You're thinking, well, I don't have a clue where to look for that. It's in there somewhere. I wrote something down, but I don't know where. But it can help you day by day. Whatever you do, write it down. Write it down. Meditate on it. Focus on it. Think about it. It'll change your life. And so the apostle here is writing and saying, listen, folks, you ought to know. You do know about the, you know, he's writing to these Hebrews. You know about the high priest in the Old Testament after the line of Aaron. You understand that. But you're struggling to understand how Christ was the ultimate high priest and how Christ paid the debt for all of our sins. And he completed the work of redemption. And he is the author of eternal salvation. He said that you're choking on that. You haven't grown up to gain that. You haven't grasped that yet. You're still infants in that. You're not getting it yet. You need to dig in and look and grow and learn. Some of them weren't saved. They needed to get saved. That may be the case in some of your life today. I can't see your hearts. But some of them were saved, but they just were sitting back apathetic babies. And they hadn't grown. So, wherever you're at spiritually, if you're growing daily, you're reading daily, you're gaining from the Word of God, then praise God, keep growing. You'll never mature completely until you get to heaven, but let's keep pressing on. But if you're struggling, and you have to admit, deep down inside, I haven't grown much in a long time, kind of stagnant, then make today the turning point. Determine from today on that you're going to start reading this book, you're going to start learning and growing and gaining, and writing something down and meditating on it and letting it change your life. Let it change you. It can. God wants it to. It's your choice. We don't have to be immature. We can grow if we'll let God help us.